Welcome to the Cerebral Edge with strength and conditioning specialist Coach Chris. Join us for the next 30 minutes as Coach Chris shares ways to improve your health in all areas of your life. Along with his special guests, he strives to give you that cerebral edge to help make you 1% better every day. Now, here's Coach Chris.
This is Power Talk 1040 KPPF. Welcome to the show. This show aims to give you the edge to be 1% better every day. Add it all up to 365 days a year, and you're well on your way to a better version of yourself. And on the show today, I got my right-hand man on once again, Kevin Hayes.
I am from behind the producer desk and then on the guest mic, and I feel like I'm on my way.
He's well on his way
to 100% better.
100% better. I love it.
Yeah. It's, you know, and we just finished with our workout, and I'm sweating. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like steady, slow, but progress, you know?
Right.
So that's good. I mean, we were talking about it during the workout, that when you start to feel that those muscles that were marshmallows start to get a little firm.
Right. From flab to slab.
Wow. Yeah. You know, and it's just a little change, but it's like, oh, I can feel that. Oh,
right.
I can feel that. And then you go a little boost of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It sucked.
Right.
But you know what? I'm going to come back.
Yeah.
I'm going to come. And let me tell you what. One of the things I noticed is the difference between you going to a gym by yourself and having someone like you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like it's that big of a difference. I mean, I can go by myself. I can work out. But to have a guy that sort of gives you that reassurance that I'm supposed to be doing 10 reps, I'm done at 6, and you give me an option. You go, you know, we can squeak out these last 4. Or you can do them this way instead. Like, you'll say, like, you know, I'm done with push-ups at 4. I'm like, dude, I can't do any more.
Right.
When you're by yourself, you feel guilty, man. You feel like...
feel like you let yourself down.
Yeah. And you know, and you try to talk yourself into, yeah, it's okay. I'll do the rest on my knees. I'll put my knees down. But to have a guy that's right there going, drop your knees and finish them.
Right.
That's okay. Drop your knees and finish them. And then you might even say to yourself, I'm going to finish those 4 on my knees, but I'm going to add 2 more if I feel like I have it on my knees.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk away feeling a heck of a lot better.
Right.
Because I do. I remember going to the gym by myself. And you do slowly slack off. And you do slowly give yourself the okay to slack off. But with someone like you, you're not giving me a free pass.
Right.
But you're also giving me a free pass.
Right.
You know what I mean? Hypothetically, or what I mean is the free pass is, it's okay to drop to your knees. Do the push-ups from your knees instead of having your knees up now. And finish those up. And then when you see me do 1 or 2 extra, you're like, hey!
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's your job as a coach that gets lost with a lot of people. Your job as a coach is to build people up, not tear them down, right?
Right.
So if you only got 4 and I'm like, God, geez, and I walked away and I, you know, how does that make you feel as a client or as a trainee,
right?
Makes you feel like the same feeling you got in the gym going, oh man, I'm just a loser. I can't do it, right? But if you all of a sudden you just change things a little bit, give them a little bit of a different angle on it, they crank out a few more and then they crank out a few extra on top of that. How does that make you feel?
Oh, yeah. It feels me. It hurts. It sucks. Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't suck. But believe me, when you're 2 or 3 hours later and you feel that tightness in your chest or the tightness in your quads or whatever, we did a lot of squats today, and I'm going to feel that in my legs later.
Right.
And my legs might even be weak. But anybody who works out knows exactly what I'm talking about. They're going, yeah, I know that. Oh yeah, yeah. But if you haven't worked out for a long time and you've let yourself go, and you're starting to realize, man, if I don't start doing something, I'm going to turn into a little skinny marshmallow man or a real fat marshmallow man.
Right.
And I can't have that.
Right.
I don't care who you are. You got to move those muscles, man. You got to give them a challenge.
It's the hardest thing about behavior change, right? Is because people always think they're like, I can do this on my own. It's just exercise. It's easy, right? But it's so easy to let yourself down, isn't it?
It is.
It's so easy to go, it's a little bit too hard today, right?
And that's not to say that there aren't people who can do it themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I think we all know
everything's
somebody
individual.
Who can do it.
Yeah.
But there's a heck of a lot more out there who would really benefit from someone like you.
Yeah.
That looks at every client and looks at their goals and understands them and knows when to stop and when to push a little bit, when to encourage, and when to have like constructive criticism that's delivered the proper way. And that's what I appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely. And that goes down to asking questions. Right. So when people come in, I always ask questions where they're at physically, or I'll give it a little assessment. Right. So I'll sit there and I'll watch people and how they react, how they talk, right. How they interact with each other, what gets them going, what gets them motivated. Right. And that comes down to, you know, that's what you want to look for if you're trying to pick somebody out. Mm-hmm. You want to look for somebody that asks the questions. Right. How long has it been since you've worked out? Right. What gets you motivated to work out? Right. Or just watching body language too when you correct, right? Yep. Did they look discouraged, right? Did they look encouraged,
right?
When you gave that modification, right? And most of the time when you give people a modification so they can go a little bit further, they get really encouraged instead of being discouraged.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a huge, huge thing that a lot's missed in the personal training world and in the strength and conditioning world is looking at people as individuals versus groups. Of people.
Can you think of somebody that you know that you work with that is on the polar opposite of what you're doing for me?
On the polar opposite of what you're doing for you? So I've got people that climb mountains, right? I've got people that are just really motivated to do it themselves. I have one guy who's a retired bodybuilder comes to see me. He is super motivated and stuff like that. But when he came to me, I showed him just a few different modifications that tore him up. And it only took me about two sets to do it. And he's used to going in there and pounding a lot. Right. Mm-hmm. But I looked at his weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And once you start to work on the weaknesses, they go, right. And then that's where you start to get new growth is when people are able to look at the weakness and go, this is what we have to work on.
Right.
Right.
So you've got people that you know, it's okay for me to go, come on, you got one more, man,
yeah.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And then for folks like me who are trying to just lose the weight, firm up, get healthier, get to where I can run a fair decent amount, you know, you can see it in my face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to have him walk the rest of the way. Just walk, Kevin, stop. Just walk.
Mm-hmm.
Fast, firm walk,
yep.
Good form, finish it up that way.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, see, that's beautiful, man.
Right.
That is beautiful cuz, you know, you even within our group, you know, this guy I can push a
Yeah, I
little
can
bit.
Push, right?
I can push. And I'll get there.
Right.
But it's cool that you know the difference.
Yeah, so there's like guys like you, and then there's another one that we work out with. His name's Stretch. I can joke with him a lot.
Right.
You know, some people you can't joke with like that.
Right.
Like,
because
Stretch will come back and say, is that all you got? I'm like, okay, we'll do 20 more.
Right? Yeah. And the rest of us, like, Stretch, shut up.
Shut up, Stretch, man. You're killing
us. You realize this is a team over here, right?
This is a team effort, right? So you do have those polar opposites. You have the ones that you can really get into and be like, hey, you got one more. And that's the fine line of knowing your client, knowing what motivates and what demotivates your client.
Right.
Like that's one of the biggest things. But I also got some questions from the Cerebral Edge email.
Oh, did you? Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So the first one I got was, how often should I rest? Right.
How often should you? That's kind of a broad question.
Yeah, it is.
Every night at about 10 o'clock, go to sleep and wake up 8 hours later. That's simple.
It's simple. Not everybody does that, though. And, yeah, that's true. Sleep is very important for recovery.
But they're talking about like rest between reps or something?
But
or?
I think that, well, I'm going to go out of limb and say this is what they're asking. How long between workouts should I wait to work out again? And it depends, right? It's really a depends question, right? Because you have different splits where you can work out five days a week, and then maybe you do, maybe you can work out 7 days a week if you do like some, if you count walking as working out, right? Mm-hmm. If you're talking about strength training, if you're talking about going 80-90% on a squat or a bench press, right? Really hammering it out. Normally on those strength days, I suggest about 72 hours before you test a max again. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's how long it takes the nervous system to kind of recover to get back in there. If you're talking about things like we talked about 2 weeks ago was BFR training, which mm-hmm. was the blood flow. You could do that every day, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's so low intensity mm-hmm. and low. And I don't mean it's not hard by low intensity. I mean, you're using a lot lighter weight and you're sure. doing a ton of reps.
Sure.
So I hope that you think I got that covered,
Kev? I think so. I would say that if you do send a question to Coach Chris, be as specific as possible.
Right.
That's kind of a broad question. So it sounds to me like it depends on the intensity of the workout, mm-hmm. how much weight's involved,
yep.
how much it kind of tore you up, I guess is kind of what you're
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely. And where you're at, right. physically.
Cool.
Okay. Right. So like today. Like today's workout, group workout, somebody could probably do that again tomorrow. But if you're really out of shape and you're really sore the next day, you know, don't do it.
Know your body.
Yeah, know your body.
See how it feels.
Exactly. The next one was, how can I increase lean muscle mass? Couple things to that question, right? What's one thing I'm saying all the time, Kev? You probably know. You can probably fish it out of the air.
Lean muscle mass, protein, baby.
Protein, baby.
Protein, baby.
So
we're talking about my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Don. Mm-hmm. Shoulders are just nothing. He's like, man, my shoulders are like skin and bone. Mm-hmm. He looks at my shoulders and goes, man, you got those big, broad shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And we were discussing, and I'll kind of expound on that question.
Yeah.
How do you build lean muscle? Also, how do you build muscle back up? Because I think it's from him being sedentary for so long.
Right.
So I think that's kind of the same question.
So, I mean, you have to have a good program, right? Obviously, that's individual to you. Lifting heavier weights, you know, squat, bench, deadlift, always great ways to build up lean muscle mass. Anything kind of heavy, 8, 12 repetitions is going to get you some good lean muscle mass. You know, you're looking at between 6 sets and 15 sets to build muscle mass. But the other thing is what you're doing on your off time, right? Are you taking in enough protein, right? That's a huge one I expand upon. And because people really won't eat that much. If you want to get to be, you know, 170 pounds, 180 pounds lean muscle mass, don't talk to me unless you're eating 180 grams of protein, right? Especially as we age, because I talked to Kevin about this earlier, was as you age and you get older, protein synthesis in your muscle is harder to produce. So you have to eat more protein per pound as you age because your muscle receptors become less sensitive to protein. And that brings on a whole host of other issues, right? So I talked about sarcopenia and things like that, muscle wasting. Mm-hmm. And that is stemming from a lot of non-resistance training, right? People aren't resistance training. Mm-hmm. And then people aren't able to get in enough protein. Then there's also other things like calcium and things like that that they need to get in. But, so ultimately it comes down to eating and a good training regimen and good program individualized for you. Because you can look up a cookie-cutter workout online, and it might not work for you, mm-hmm. whether it be due to pain, right? Or the type of deadlift you're doing might cause pain. So then it's like, okay, well, let's change that up a little bit, right? So instead of doing a straight bar barbell deadlift, try to do trap bar, right? Trap bar is really good. It's one where you stand right in the middle of it.
Is that your hands closer together? Or?
So the trap bar is a piece of equipment that you stand in the middle of it, and there's uh-huh. weights on each side.
Yeah.
And then you go down and you grab the handles, and it's a little higher,
oh,
right?
Okay.
So you're not leaning over as much.
Uh-huh.
and the center of mass is more in line with your body versus being out in front.
Got it.
Right.
Got it.
Have you seen those like in the gym and stuff like that? So it's where you step into it, you load the plates on the side and come up. And that's a really good viable option for somebody who's going, man, I'm deadlifting all the time and I have back pain all the time. Well, that fixes where the center mass is.
Right.
So then all of a sudden you're able to do something a little heavier. It's a total body exercise and you're going to be gaining muscle mass off of that with a proper diet, proper sleep, all that stuff. Right. So lean muscle mass, three things: proper training regimen, right? Proper diet, proper sleep. All right. So let's take a quick break here because when we come back, I really want to get into some more questions that I have from listeners out there. It's really great info I think is going to help us out. So we'll be back in just a minute. This is the Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris on Power Talk 1040. We are back on the Cerebral Edge on Power Talk 1040 with Coach Chris and with my guest today, Kevin Hayes, who's normally behind the production booth.
Yes, I am. I'm usually over there. I'm now over here now. There's nobody to yell at you from afar. I'll yell at you from right here.
There you go.
So you were saying before we went to the break, someone had asked, how do I build lean muscle mass? And first thing you said to me is, Kevin, you already know this. You've heard this 1,000 times. What is it? And I went, oh, yeah, it's protein. Mm-hmm. And so you said, don't even talk to me if you want to build lean muscle mass if you're not already having a lot of protein.
Right.
Which, of course, means lots of Big Macs. So.
That's what I.
That's not what you mean?
That's not exactly what I mean.
No, okay, cool. So all those people that are in their car driving to McDonald's right now because you gave them permission.
If you are in the drive-thru line in McDonald's, turn around. Don't go in there. It's a trap. So it's funny, right? So when I say stuff like that, that's what people hear a lot of the time.
Yes, they do.
You know?
We were talking about, that'd be funny. You should compile a list of all the things that you say versus what they hear.
Versus what they hear, right? Yeah. A lot of times, like, if I'm, like today, like I tell people good carbohydrates to eat, right?
Right.
And I'm like, what's carbohydrates? Carbohydrates are sugar, right? That's basically what it is. So I'm like, have a good carbohydrate before you come work out. And people will take that as, oh, I should have donuts before I work out. A jelly donut would be perfect, right? Yeah. Or Doritos.
The Doritos, yes.
Why not? Yeah. Very good carbohydrate there to work out with. No, that's not what I mean by getting protein in. So good protein sources that I like have people get in is steak, right?
Steak,
chicken. Mm-hmm. Is really good.
There's some good protein powders out there.
Yeah, there's some good protein, some good whey protein. Make sure whey protein isolate is the first ingredient when you're going to buy a whey protein because there's a lot of crap on the shelves, right? So if you're going to Walmart and you're looking for a protein and you pick up the bag and you look at the ingredient list and the first thing's whey protein concentrate, that means there's a bunch of filler in it.
Put it away.
Put it away.
Back on the shelf.
Throw it in the garbage can, man.
And so once again, okay, I put that up back on the shelf. I go to another product. I pull it up. I'm looking at the ingredients. If the first thing I see is whey protein isolate, is that what you said? That's good.
That's good.
Okay.
Yep.
It's going to be more expensive, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because then you're getting more of the actual molecules of protein that you need.
Cool.
Right. Versus a lot of filler in there. Other thing, eggs, right? So everybody, you know, gets on the train, they're like, oh, eggs are bad because they have cholesterol on you. No, that's not true.
No, and that is so funny. It's one of those things that I remember my doctor saying, no eggs, no butter, no avocado. You gotta get rid of that stuff.
Yeah.
And then I went back in like a couple years later and I said, what happened, man? He goes, somehow it changed. Science, whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's like, yeah, go eggs, butter, go. I was like, okay. And it was like, it's not me. You know? Okay, doc, sure.
Right? It's like we had Doc Grove on here. We talked about metabolic syndrome a little bit and what's the cause of that. And it's more of people having access to food all the time, 24/7, yes. You know, going and getting whatever.
Yep.
And a lot of it's simple sugars, right, that spike that insulin all day long, which is, mm-hmm. you know, terrible for your body, terrible for your muscles to take in sugar and things like that. So if you're taking in sugar all the time, guess what happens?
Oh, yeah.
You become a type 2 diabetic.
There right? you go.
That's very well mm-hmm. planned out and studied mm-hmm. and all that. So my next questions that I have is how much weight should I use for strength training, right? So for strength, so if you're talking about building maximal strength, what you want to do is you want to get, of course, the eggs and the steak, right? Mm-hmm. All that stuff, right? Very important. Sleep is another very, I know I repeat a lot of things on here. Mm-hmm. It's because they're important.
Yes.
Right? And I want to really impress upon you of how important that they are, because if you're not doing the right things out of the gym, you're not going to get strong in the gym.
Right.
Right. So how I start to build strength, maximal strength on people is I try to stay, you know, six sets of six is where I first start people off at. Right. Because it's not a load that's so detrimental to where as soon as I load you up, you're going to break. Right.
Right.
You're not going to get injured. Right.
So you have to think of, is this person going to be able to survive on that last set of six?
Mm-hmm.
Is the weight staying the same for the whole?
Staying the same.
Okay, so the first couple are going to be pretty simple.
Yep, and I'll use a method and a technique called step loading sometimes. So that way you never plateau. So basically what happens is you start with a weight, say 6x6. On the sixth one, you're just dying, right? You don't even get six, right?
Maybe you need help on the last one.
Maybe you get five on the last one.
Right.
So the next week, you stay with the same load. Until you can get 6x6 across the whole thing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And then once you get 6x6, maybe you just add 2.5 pounds or maybe mm-hmm. 1.5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go the next week. Okay, how many am I going to get? And then you write down, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got 6 on the first one, 6 on the second one, 5 on the third, 3 on the fourth, you know, 2 or whatever it is. Now you have a number to beat the next week.
Right.
So then you go in, you're like, okay, cool. We're going to put the same weight on the bar. And now we're looking at numbers and you have something that's trackable. And now that's training versus just exercise, because now you're getting better each week versus just kind of throwing random stuff in the air and seeing what sticks.
That is a huge problem with a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, an example is when you finally decide to sit down and talk to a dietitian. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing they tell you? Start logging what you're putting in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And until you start doing that,
mm-hmm.
you have no information. You have all this gobbledygook in your head. Yep. You don't think about what you ate, and you don't remember the 5 Krispy Kremes you had every day for the last week or whatever. I mean, you remember them, but still. But when you see it,
it's an eye-opener.
It's an eye-opener, and it's a goal, and it's confidence, and it's
mm-hmm.
and when you start knocking down those goals, man, you feel good.
Yeah, and you don't know. And it's amazing to me when people come in and they go, wow, I never knew what good felt like until I started doing this.
That's it.
Right? Because people don't really realize how much pain they're in, how broken they're in, until they start to change those things. And all of a sudden, they're eating more protein, they're lifting some weights, and all of a sudden, they're like, man, I feel so much different.
Yep.
They're like, I have this weird ache and pain that I've always had that's just gone.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a beautiful feeling.
You know, and it's great when I have people come in and say, like, I was working with one guy last week and working on other things that are unrelated. Didn't even tell me about this problem. But he goes, it's funny. He goes, I've had an issue in the morning. Every time I wake up, my feet kill me. He's like, it's been for like 3 years. They've just been killing me. He goes, this last week I've worked with you, it just kind of lit up on me on Saturday. I said, I haven't had that foot pain anymore. Right?
Wow.
Because we started strengthening.
So his feet or up or lower ankles were probably compensating for something.
Yeah, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Compensating or just not very strong, right? Because a lot of what I do is I work foot strength with everybody, right? Because feet are foundational, right?
Totally.
To be able to do a deadlift or a squat or a lunge, you have to have a solid base. You have to have a solid foot and solid ankle. So that's some of the first things I work anyway. But I did it without even knowing that he had a foot and ankle problem.
Sure.
And And it's funny because when you interview people and you're like, hey, any aches and pains?
Totally forget that it's...
totally forget. Yeah, wait,
did you say your feet have been hurting for 3 years?
For 3 years. And
you
now...
couldn't have put that on your information sheet?
Exactly. And, but yeah, so, but it was really cool because then he came, he's like, man, I have no foot pain whatsoever, which was a cool, you know, kind of add-on extra to the workout. Right. And, and it makes me feel really good. Right. But I'm sure it made him feel a whole lot better.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's kind of what I mean. Like people don't really realize what good feels until they feel it.
That's right.
Cause he's been dealing with it for 3 years. So it's become the norm.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden he doesn't have it and he's like, woohoo.
Yeah. Awesome.
Man, dude, these interviews just fly by.
They do.
Let me tell you.
So let's recap the questions that you had. What were they again?
So one was how often should I rest, which was kind of vague.
That was
right?
kind of vague, yeah. But yeah, go ahead.
But it all depends on the intensity of the workout, right? If it's a real high intense workout, say a one rep max workout, something that really challenges your nervous system, you want 72 hours of rest before you do it again. Or if you're really sore the next day, possibly do a light one, but don't really go ham the next day. Right.
So really take inventory of your body after you feel. If it's not horrible, then you can go again.
There's a really great other testing method that you can use, and it's a hand, I think it's called a hand ergometer or whatever, and it measures your grip strength.
Okay.
So overall grip strength is a good indicator of where your nervous system's at, if it's ready to go or not.
Right, okay.
So basically you get a baseline, and you squeeze three times, you know, get an average.
Okay.
And then before your workout, squeeze it three times, both hands, see if it's around the same. If it's dropped significantly, you're not ready to train hard that day.
You need to recover a little bit.
You need to recover a little bit
right.
more.
Okay.
And if you're strong or stronger, then you can go ham that day.
Right. There you go.
So okay. that's a really good way to see if you should rest. How should I increase lean muscle mass? Protein. Good resistance training program that's tailored to you. And I can't impress upon you, to you.
Yeah. Get a hold of Chris.
How important that is.
Get a hold of Coach Chris, and we'll give you his info in a second.
And let me see here. And the third one was getting enough sleep. Sleep, very important. How much weight should I use for strength training? And we went over
that.
A lot, right?
Yes.
So between 80% to 100%.
Yeah, so you're really struggling.
Yeah.
And then I think we talked about if something hurts a lot, try a different angle, try a different exercise perhaps that puts the center of mass in front of you, maybe not quite.
Or more towards you, actually.
Or more towards you, possibly, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so like as I talked about deadlifts with a barbell, a lot of times it's out front, switch to a strap bar, so it's right next to you in your center of mass, and the handles are a little higher, so you're not bending over as far.
Right.
Thanks for joining me today, Kev.
Thank you. It feels good to be on the other side of the table on the mic, but I think I like it over there better.
It over there a little better?
Yeah, so I'll be back over there next week.
All right, good. My information, you go to CerebralEdgePerformance.com. You can get a hold of me there. There's a little questionnaire you can fill out, message me. I work out at Champion Health Associates, 719-473-7000. I've also got Instagram page, Cerebral Edge Performance. You can email me at CerebralEdge1@gmail.com.
And specific on the questions, you know, good questions today, but you try to keep it as specific as possible because it's a broad subject.
Yeah, very broad subject. So tailor it more to you and I can give you a better answer. All right. So I'm so glad you joined me here today on the Cerebral Edge. I hope you join me next weekend as well, right here on Power Talk 1040. I have more insight on how we can all achieve that Cerebral Edge goal of making 1% better every day. I'm Coach Chris. Until next time, stay strong.
This has been the Cerebral Edge on KPPF. Have a question for Coach Chris? Email him at CerebralEdge1@gmail.com. That's CerebralEdge1@gmail.com. Join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another episode of The Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris on Power Talk 1040 KPPF.